Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Friday. This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Johnny Buck. Great to have you here. Tonight we'll hear from a Bay of Pigs veteran, a man who fought in that battle. He was in Miami today listening to Donald Trump. We'll get his take on the president's proposed changes to our relations with Cuba. Also, we'll talk about what happens in your life when you get laid off out of nowhere. How do you deal with that? You'll get some insights from one of the country's top HR executives. Let's begin, though, with what's been happening all week now. Bill Cosby's sexual assault trial has been in deliberation since Monday, 5 days now, over 46 hours. The judge refusing to declare a mistrial. How long could this go on, and what's the holdup? Quentin Brogdon is with us. He's an attorney, legal expert, and former prosecutor with the law firm Crane Lewis Brogdon. Quentin, great to have you on WILS.
Good afternoon, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, first of all, what did you expect from the case? Did you think this was going to be a slam dunk for the prosecutors?
No, I didn't. They put the credibility, Cosby's attorneys put the credibility of the accuser, Andrea Constant, up front and center, which is often how these matters work. There was no forensic evidence. There wasn't, you know, DNA and any of that. In any event, Cosby didn't deny the contact occurred. He just said it was consensual. Mm-hmm. But his attorneys poked at inconsistencies in her testimony and her accounts over the years about the date of the assault, whether she was ever alone with Cosby before and after the assault. She waited a year to report the assault, which isn't that unusual in these kinds of cases, but an issue is always made out of that. And then she had 72 phone calls with him after the assault, she says, to deal with issues related to him being a powerful trustee at Temple University, and she was the director of operations at the women's basketball team there.
Did she testify in the trial?
She did testify in the trial, and the jurors have asked to look at some of her testimony about the night of the assault since they've been deliberating. They've asked to have that read back to them, as well as testimony that Cosby gave in the civil case, his deposition testimony over 10 years ago. And importantly, they've also asked for the definition of reasonable doubt. And so it's leading many to believe that they may well think, this jury, that probably one version or the other occurred, mm-hmm. and they may be hanging up on whether the prosecution has proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Okay.
And so, you know, they can come back guilty on all counts, not guilty on all counts, or with a mixed verdict.
Now,
three different counts.
When they get that definition, how is that going to help them to actually get the clear definition of reasonable doubt?
Well, Pennsylvania has standard jury instructions, and they talk about, although the Commonwealth, and that's what they call the prosecution, and has the burden of proving guilt, it doesn't mean they have to prove it beyond all doubt or to a mathematical certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And then they define reasonable doubt as a doubt that would cause a reasonably careful and sensible person to hesitate before acting on a matter of importance in his own affairs. So, mm-hmm. and some of the definitions say it has to be real, not imagined, and it can't be fabricated just to avoid doing something that may be difficult.
Right.
So,
see, as you're describing it, I'm not sure if I could make up my mind as a juror myself at this point. Let me ask you this, Quentin, because it seems like the Cosby side, they're pushing for a mistrial. Why do you think they want that?
Well, they want that because they're hoping and thinking that there's at least a chance this prosecutor will not retry the case. This prosecutor who's prosecuting it ran on a platform of prosecuting Cosby. His predecessor had discontinued the prosecution, and after Cosby's deposition testimony about giving women quaaludes and rendering them unconscious
mm-hmm.
Came out, there was a cry for it to be reopened. So this prosecutor, many believe, is going to be more inclined to retry Cosby if this is a hung jury and a mistrial than otherwise.
Okay.
But they're going to have to talk to the jurors and see, you know, how close, if they get hung up, were there 11 who wanted to prosecute and one holdout, or was it the other way around?
How long could this go on, then?
Well, the judge has said, and he's pointedly remarked to Cosby's lawyers as they made these motions for mistrial, that there's no fixed time limit. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to let these jurors deliberate as long as they're willing to continue deliberating.
What does that mean, as long as they're willing to? Can they just say, we don't feel like doing this anymore?
Well, they can at some point say, we are hopelessly deadlocked. They came out once and said they were deadlocked, and that's when he gave them the charge that basically said, don't give up your firmly held beliefs, but listen to each other and try to come up with a unanimous verdict if you can. So he's prodded them with what is referred to basically as a dynamite charge. I think in Pennsylvania they call it a Spencer charge.
Yeah,
it's up to the judge.
They're sequestered, right?
They are sequestered, and we're on a Friday evening now, and you know we got Father's Day coming. They've been away from their families, and so you know.
So do they feel like
play into it? Maybe
are they feeling like prisoners at this point?
I'm sure some of them are, and some of them probably have felt the same way all along, and they've been discussing their opinions with others of the jurors. And so some, I'm sure, are very frustrated.
Well, I mean, what changes? I mean, if you've been deliberating for even 20, 30 hours, other than simply breaking someone's will and making them say, you know what, I just want to go home, so I'll agree with you. How do you really change someone's mind after so much deliberation?
Well, they discuss amongst themselves, they review the evidence, and minds can be changed. Interestingly, you know, O.J. in his criminal case was acquitted after only 4 hours, but Robert Blake was convicted after it was a number of days of deliberation. So, you know, it's different in every case. You've got different dynamics. You've got leaders on the jury. You've got some followers.
So, I mean,
they're debating amongst themselves.
Does it end up being a situation where a juror who maybe is holding out just wants to go home and so he just agrees with the others just to end it?
It's not supposed to ever be that, but, I mean, you're dealing with human beings back there. And so can I tell you that never, ever happens? Of course I cannot.
How do you think this is going to end up for Mr. Cosby?
I'm betting at this point it's probably a mistrial, a hung jury that's going to be declared a mistrial. But none of us can really know that yet. We know they're conscientious. We know they're asking to look at evidence. We know they're hanging at least some of them on the burden of proof. We don't know if that's for all of the three charges or some of them. So there's a lot going on, potentially. Or there may be just a few things going on that they're hanging on. We just don't know yet.
From the evidence that you saw and heard about from the trial, do you think their reasonable doubt was proven by the defense?
You know, a big part of it is how you define reasonable doubt, and it's not the removal of all doubt. If you don't witness something, you're always going to have some doubt about what occurred if you're sitting on a jury and you're hearing people talk about it. In this case, you've got one witness giving one version and another witness, although Cosby did not testify, giving another version. Interestingly, you know, in the court of public opinion, Cosby, in the minds and eyes of many, has been convicted. But in the court of public opinion, we've all heard about the 60 or so other accusers who are making similar complaints. This jury did not hear about all those women. They've had some knowledge of that, many of them, no doubt. But they just heard from one other accuser. So they're not supposed to be considering this pattern of him doing it with, you know, 60 other women since the 1960s.
Because he did.
That puts a different perspective on it.
He does acknowledge right in the case that he did give her Benadryl right before the sexual encounter.
How, he does.
Now, in terms of the jury's view on the case, how much do you think that his own testimony, because they used, how did they get his side of the story then if he didn't testify?
Well, they got his side of the story from what he told the police back in 2005. And so the policeman testified about that. Okay. And also from his deposition testimony in a civil case. She, the accuser, Constance, sued him for money. And that case settled. This jury did not hear about that case settling, but he gave a deposition, so that deposition testimony has been used in this case.
And they got to, in fact, they wanted to hear it again a second time while they're deliberating, right?
Yes. They've sent three different questions about reviewing Cosby testimony. Three of their eight questions have been about reviewing Cosby testimony.
Yeah. What's the longest deliberation you've ever seen, then?
You know, I'm just trying to sit here and think. Probably a week and a half is, you know, but, you know, we're getting near the outer edges of how far these things typically go. This is a long one. The case was very short, and the fact they're still out may be a vindication of the Cosby attorney's strategy of not calling him, of putting on their own case that lasted only 6 minutes. They recalled one policeman who was called in the prosecutor's case originally, and that's all they did. Otherwise, they made their points during the prosecutor's case. They cross-examined Andrea Constand and her mother, Gianna. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the biggest fireworks in the case were the cross-examination of the mother, who had conversations with Cosby after the assault on the phone.
Oh, really? What was the tone of that conversation?
Well, the tone was, you know, her version was that he, in essence, was confessing, saying that he was, a, quote, a sick man, and, quote, I sound like a perverted person. He said that he had given her something out of a prescription bottle, according to Gianna Constand, but he couldn't. He did not read to her what it was. He said he was going to show it to her later, but he never did.
And then
there was a recording.
Okay, there was a recording also, you're saying?
Yes, there was a recording also later where he offers to pay for her schooling. And so the prosecution made the point, why would you do that as an innocent person? Why are you offering to pay for her schooling? So that's interesting. If you didn't do anything wrong, why are you apologizing?
Right.
What the prosecutor said in closing argument.
The case, goes on as the deliberations are ongoing, probably into next week. Quentin Brogdon with us, a legal expert, attorney, former prosecutor, and he's now with the law firm Crane Lewis Brogdon. Quentin Brogdon right here on WILS. Thank you, Quentin.
Thanks. Thank you, Michael, for having me on.